Message is a strange miracle. Everybody say a strange miracle. And you're going to learn something today. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to impart, deposit something in you that's going to help you in your walk with Him. Okay? And we're all supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight. And so I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 is where this story, I've just entitled this a strange miracle. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 is what we're going to read here in just a second. I'm just going to tell you, as a pastor, I was totally thinking and preparing something totally different. I'd even told Jada the other day kind of what I was thinking that I was supposed to do today. I do this every week, just so that you know, a lot of people say, you know, I've had people ask me, Pastor, how do you come up with your message? Well, number one, pray. Number one, ask the Holy Spirit. I study. Yes, I study. I love to read. You can ask Jada. I got books all over the house started. Wow, there's some thunder and lightning for you. There you go. Amen. So I have books all over the house started. She told me to get a Kindle so that I'm not cluttering up the house with a host of so many books. So thank God for technology. But I love to read. I love to study. And God put that desire within me because I used to not like to study at all. But the Bible is just fascinating to me, and I love studying it. Well, this week, I don't know if y'all were here, but I did a message called Don't Tie Up the Foxes, and I encourage you to go back and listen to that, because that was kind of a time when I knew that God broke in and said something, because, you know, I plan, but then I don't get rigid in my plans. I stay open to the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit, show me what, because He knows who's going to be here. I don't, and who's going to be listening, and I don't. And so, that's kind of what happened with this message, and it came out of 2 Kings chapter 6, and I thought, Lord, I'm getting a sermon series here called Bizarre Bible Stories. That's my new sermon series, Bizarre Bible Stories. But Elisha, if you don't know Elisha, and I had Taya sing some songs about Elisha this morning, he was the protege of Elijah, and Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah. Elijah did 8, and Elisha did 16. And the four gospels, he's the only person outside of Jesus that has the most miracles in the Bible. Jesus, in the four gospels, record 37 miracles of Jesus. And so what miracles do is they bring life. This is what Scripture teaches. Miracles bring life, blessings, and also judgment. That's what miracles do. That's through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so this 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it is, what the miracle is. It is the miracle of the floating, get this, a floating axe head. Okay, axe heads, they don't float, but this one did. And so I want you to, if you're there with me in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, it says, one day the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, as you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. So where they were gathering at was getting too small. And in verse 2 it says, so let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs, and there we can build a new place for us to meet. All right, he told them, go ahead. Please come with us, someone suggested, and he said, I will, he said. And so he went with them, and when they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees. But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. Oh, sir, he cried, it was a borrowed axe. And verse 6 says, where did it fall? The man of God asked. And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it in the water at that spot. Then the axe head floated to the surface. In verse 7, he says, grab it, Elisha said. And the man reached out and grabbed it. And I'm reading it to you out of the New Living Translation. Quite a story, right? Yeah. Floating axe head floats. I think this was last summer that this happened, and we got Poppy's pontoon boat. Love taking the kids out during the summer on Poppy's pontoon boat. We have a good time, and it was last summer, and we'd got done boating. We have a boat slip over at the marina. Because I learned real quickly it's a lot easier having a boat slip instead of getting in and out of the lake all the time, especially with the pontoon. And so we go into our boat slip. We're getting all of our stuff out. And you have to set it out. And we're setting all the ice chests and different things, all the stuff that we brought, towels and everything. And all of a sudden, I hear keys, and I hear them hit the side of the deal, and bloop. And Cameron goes, "Oh no, oh sir," that's what he said. "Oh sir, yeah, there's a joke for you." All right, I was going to say that earlier. "Oh sir," and his keys go into the water. And we're like, okay. And I thought, you know, maybe we can get goggles. Maybe we can dive down. So me and Cameron tried to do that. Realize it's over 15 feet deep there. I can't even go down 5, right? I can't hold my breath that long. I'm like, this ain't going to work. And so I began to think, you know, him and I were talking. And I can't remember who we borrowed it from. But I found out that there's such a thing. And this is where I learned something. I'm going to share this with you guys because some of you may want to go do this. People do this like a hobby. Like metal detecting, they call it magnet fishing, yeah. Magnet fishing. And so this whole episode, that him losing his keys, introduced me to magnet fishing. So now I have a magnet that I bought off of Amazon. You can buy them off of Amazon. They got all, and I wanted to show you this. That's what it looks like, okay? That comes in a little kit. It's got the magnet. It's got you know, hooks on the back of it. It's got the gloves. It's got the ropes and everything. And so Cameron went down, and I was praying that they would find him. Jada was praying, Taya was praying, Cameron was praying. We were praying, God, help us, you know, find these keys. And they're pulling up. We pulled up all kinds of stuff, fishing lures. They did, but all kinds of the different things. And then, and I had pretty much, I'll just be honest with you, I'd pretty much given up. I was like, they're just going to have to go buy a new key. And I don't know if you know this, but these new vehicles today, it's just not like you go cut a key, all right? These keys are like $200. I mean, it's ridiculous. They had the chips in them and all this kind of stuff. And so anyway, we get a text one day, and here they are. They found it. They found the key. And so there's Cameron and Taya showing you the magnet over there. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. If somebody wants to take up this hobby, it's a pretty neat deal. That you can go magnet fishing, and the guys have found all kinds of neat things, you know. And so there you go. All right, now back to the message, okay? Back to the message. The prophetic meaning of this passage that I just read in 2 Kings chapter 6 can be interpreted in various ways, but here are a few possible interpretations. And I want you to know, your pastor, I spent a lot of time on this message studying and going through, because it's not very many verses, only 7 verses there. But I was going through this, and I was like, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what? And I'd go to these commentaries that men and theologians and scholars have written. And I'm telling you, you know, you go look at different commentary on different scriptures, and I'm telling you about a teacher in me. You know, there's lots of commentary on different things. You come to this miracle, this strange miracle, there's maybe a paragraph, maybe a couple things that are just like, I don't know, you know, why this is even here. Why, you know, I don't understand, even theologians. So that's where you got to have the theologian, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I'm just going to give you some that I found. And I'm not saying thus saith the Lord on any one of these, but these are just some theologians, man interpretations. I'm going to give you these real quick. There's 4 of them. The first one was divine provision. And the story, and I'm going to read these to you. The story demonstrates God's provision and care for his people, even in seemingly mundane situations. Elisha's ability to make the iron axe head float symbolizes God's power over the natural elements and his willingness to help his followers in times of need. Here's another one. Number 2 is restoration. The recovery of the borrowed axe head signifies restoration and redemption. Just as the axe head was lost but then found again, God has the power to restore what is lost or broken in our lives. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. You know, lost and found. Number 3 is spiritual insight. The floating axe head could represent spiritual truths, just as the axe head, which naturally should have sunk, defied gravity. It may symbolize how God's principles and truths can defy the natural order of things, providing insights and understanding beyond human comprehension. And then number 4 is borrowed blessings. The fact that the axe head was borrowed suggests stewardship and responsibility. It may symbolize how the blessings and resources we have are not our own, but are entrusted to us by God. We're called to be faithful stewards of what we have been given. All those are good, all right? I could have used all those 4 as 4 points, but I felt like there was something deeper, something more that God was trying to show through this story. And so I'm going to give you 3 lessons this morning. from this story about this strange miracle that I believe is really going to help you in your walk with God. If you will listen. Everybody listening? So we listen, Pastor Mark. Say, I'm listening, Pastor Mark. All right. This is how you learn, and this is how you grow in God. Here's the first one, and I'm just going to take this, verses 1 through 7. The number one lesson, three lessons from a strange miracle. Number one, it pays to hang out with faith-filled people. I'm going to say it again. It pays to hang out with faith-filled people. Verses 1 through 4 says this. This is why you need to come to church. Verses 1 through 4 says, one day the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, as you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. So these guys were all meeting together. These were all prophets. They're learning from Elisha. Verse 2 says, let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet. All right, he told him. Then he told them, go ahead. I want you to know something about Elisha. He didn't say, you guys go do it, okay? And I'll catch up with you some other time. They turn around and they ask Elisha, please come with us, someone suggested. And he goes, I will, he said. So he went with them, and when they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees. Every one of these guys are prophets. All right? Yeah, and they're working, together, and they love each other. They're for each other, and they're faith-filled people in unity. Everybody see that? All right, they're working together. This is the reason why you need to get in a good church, and I believe our church is good. Amen? Amen? Amen. And this, get in a good Bible-believing church where the Word is being taught. Okay? Because there is a famine of the Word of God in our land today. So make sure you get hooked up with a church that's teaching the truth of God's Word. And we are here teaching the truth, I promise you. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is why it pays to hang out with faith-filled people. When I come to church on Sunday morning, and I get hugs from little kids, and then somebody tells me a faith-filled story that happened with them during the week, and I leave here energized and my faith stronger to go into the week because I've been around the people of God. That's why you need to be around it. And some people can't come all the time, so they watch online, that's why we have online. We're using that technology. I'll show you a few more scriptures about hanging around the right people. Proverbs 12, verse 26. You know, the Bible says the old saying is, if you hang out with eagles, you're going to soar. If you hang out with turkeys, you're going to be a turkey. Yeah. Okay? So Proverbs 12, verse 26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. You need to choose your friends carefully. You need to make sure they're believers. You need to make sure that they're faith-filled people. And everybody said, amen. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. If you walk with the wise, you're going to get wiser. If you walk with people that are fools, you're going to do some foolish stuff. Yes. All right? And I don't care how long you've been walking with God. If you do this, if you're violating Scripture, it's going to rub off on you. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15:33 is another good Scripture. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I read all these Scriptures to tell you this. When you're walking with God, wisdom is applying God's Word to our daily lives. A lot of times people just apply the Word of God when they come to church on Sunday morning and they hear a message and they say amen and they think about a few things in their lives and then they go home, but they never apply it to their life. You need to apply God's Word to every aspect of your life. I try to look, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect at it, and I don't think anybody is, but what I try to do is look at everything in my life through the lens of Scripture. My marriage, my family, my business that I do with real estate, the church, everything, I look through the lens of Scripture. Most people just look through the lens of Scripture on Sunday morning.
Yes, that's right.
And then Monday through Saturday, they forget about it. And they're looking through the lens of the world instead of the lens of Scripture. And God wants you to give you that lens of the Scripture, looking at everything in your life. So let me give you some examples of this. If you want to have a healthy marriage, hang out with people that have healthy marriages. Okay, and I'm not knocking this if somebody's here today has been through divorce, because there's a lot of different reasons for divorce. I'm a pastor. I understand that, okay? But I can also tell you as a pastor a pattern that I have seen is that divorce does run in groups. So it matters who you hang out with. I want to be a healthy pastor. That's my prayer. So I hang out with other healthy pastors that have healthy marriages and families. Notice I didn't say healthy churches. Because if their marriage and their family's healthy, their church will be healthy too. It just that just goes hand in hand. So that's the kind of pastors I want to hang out with. I meet with pastors once a month in Oklahoma City. That's a part of our network of churches. We're all like-minded pastors. And Jada tells me, she'll tell me every month, when is your meeting? Okay, you're not missing that. You know, because she knows when I get around those faith-filled guys, they rub off on me. Iron sharpens iron when you're around those kind of people. Here's a parenting tip for you with this, being around faith-filled people. Everybody say, I love you, Pastor Mark. Because sometimes pastors have to say some strong things from the pulpit. Quit being passive in your parenting. I see too many parents that are passive. Got real quiet in here real quick. How do I know this? I've been watching T-ball games for the last couple weeks. I saw a passive parent the other day that I wanted to knock out. I'm sorry, I did. All right, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. I'm not going to go into that story. But it just made me, when I was studying for this, it made me think of that situation. Just a lot of passive in their parenting, you know. My daughter, she's, you know, child psychology, and so she limits her children, our grandchildren, on their screen time. Yes. And I thank God that she does that. But when they come to Poppy and Nana's house and they want to watch Moana, it's on, you know. Yeah, you know. And I got some lines memorized from it. One of them's boat snack. I like boat snacks. All right. So, amen. All right. And I say this because I can remember about parenting. You want parents, you have authority over your children and who they hang out with.
Yes.
And you need to, as much as you can, control that, monitor that. Okay?
Yes.
There's parents today are way so passive today that they just let their kids do whatever. And you hear these things that, you know, I've heard this on TV. I know you have too, about a kid goes into school and shoots it all up. And that, well, we didn't know he was watching that. You know, we just let him go to his room and shut the door. They don't even know what he's even doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, that is passive parenting. There was a time in our lives when we was raising Taya and she was in elementary, and I'll never forget this. She won't either because she's teaching her kids the same way. Is she had asked us because she wanted to go stay the night with somebody. And we said, no, you're not. Absolutely not. You're not. And she couldn't understand why. We knew some things that her little mind couldn't understand at that time. But as a parent, no, you're not staying the night with those people. She didn't understand it. And later in life, I was able to tell her why we didn't. And here's the deal about my daughter, and now she's got it times two, and Jarek and Ava, is Taya had a way of keep coming back and asking. She was very persistent. That, yet, wear are you down? Wear are you out? But on this one was, and there was times she wore me out, just like, go do it, just forget it, you know. But this time, no, you're not doing this. We're not allowing this to happen. Because we knew some things that she didn't. And what that is good parenting. I'm not saying I was a perfect parent, but you protect who your children hang out with.
Amen.
Because what I just read to you rubs off on them. Bad company corrupts good character. All right, here's number two. And I love this one. Three lessons from a strange miracle. Number two, God cares about all of our problems. Everybody say all.
All.
I want to tell you something. God's not too busy. You may think, you know what, God, this is such a minor thing that I'm dealing with right now. I'm not even going to talk to you about it. I'm not even going to ask you about it because you're too busy with, you know, the end times and the last days and starving children all over the world. And God, that I'm telling you, that's not God. God wants to, he loves you so much. He cares for you down to the smallest of details.
Yes.
That's the kind of father that we have. And this is in verse 5. Verse 6 says, but as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. Oh, sir, he cried. It was a borrowed axe. And where did it fall? The man of God asked. I want you to notice that it was a borrowed axe. The guy didn't say, well, you dummy, what are you doing? You know, and he didn't say, well, you know what, just go buy another one and give it to him. the man of God who represents God in this situation says, where did it fall? Tell me where it's at. That's how much God cares about you. God cares about us plumb down to the smallest of details. I love this in Psalms 37, verse 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. God, if God has your heart, I can promise you, He's going to direct your steps. You may make a wrong step, but He'll get you in the right place. Promise you. And He's going to take care of every detail of your lives. And everybody said, amen. Love this scripture. Psalms 139. Verses 16 through 18. It says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand, and when I wake up, you're still with me. Yes. Man, God loves you. Look at somebody and say, God loves you. Somebody needs to hear that today. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, I love this one. Give all your worries and all your cares to God, for He cares about you. Even if you drop an axe head in the Jordan River, God cares about that. Because if you stop and think about that, wasn't going to heal anybody. Just go buy another one for the love of God, you know. But you know what? Back then, it wasn't so easy to just go to Home Depot and buy another axe. You know, they had blacksmiths. They had to make all that kind of stuff. So it was a very important deal, and he had it borrowed. And this guy was full of anxiety. He was full of worry and concern because I lost somebody's axe head in the Jordan River, and I don't know where it's at. And the man of God didn't say, I would have said, well, you get in there and find it. You know, if you'll just get in there, because the Jordan River is not that deep. Sometimes at flood stage it would be. But just get in there and, fish around, you know. And I don't think they had magnet fishing back then, so we couldn't have done that. But God was so concerned. He was like, where did it fall? The man of God said that. I'm going to get to that here in just a second. Matthew 10, I'm trying to show you how much God cares about us. This is Jesus. Jesus says, what is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin, but not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father's knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered, or the lack thereof. Thank God I have hair today. So don't be afraid. You're more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everybody said? Amen. God says, the price of two sparrows, one copper coin. And God cares about every sparrow. He knows when they hop, and He knows when they drop. Okay? He knows it all about a sparrow. And Jesus is saying, and God's got every hair on your head numbered, and He loves you. So don't be afraid. You're more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And everybody said, amen. Now, I'm going to go to something here real quick, because I thought about doing, when I was studying about Elisha, this story come up, and I was like, wow, God, that'd make a great men's conference, men's retreat story. Something we find out about Elisha, and I'm not going to survey the crowd in here. I see somebody in the back. But Elisha, the scripture teaches us, was bald. Okay? God still had every hair on his head numbered. Amen? All the bald guys are looking at each other right now. I can see guys looking. Who's all? Yeah. All right. It's okay. And I'm going to tell you something. This scripture has taught me to not make fun of anybody that's bald, because I think bald is beautiful. Thank you, Will. I knew Will would give me an amen out of that. In fact, I want to do a men's retreat or a men's conference based off of this scripture called Bald and Beautiful. Yeah, amen. And some of you have never seen this in scripture, and this is going to be cool when I read this to you, because this is in scripture. This is in 2 Kings chapter 2. Verses 23 through 24, it says, Elisha left Jericho and went up to Bethel, and as he was walking along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking and making fun of him. This is why you don't make fun of anybody that's bald. And they were saying, go away, baldy. They chanted, go away. This is in scripture. Go away, baldy. Verse 24, Elisha turned around and looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And it says, and then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. That's in scripture. Bald and beautiful, baby. I tell you. And if you make fun of a bald person, get ready. Some bears are fixing to start chasing you and maul you. Didn't say it killed them. It just mauled them. So I have learned, based on that scripture, do not make fun of bald people. I still have hair, thank God, because I promise you, if I lost it, I would not be beautiful, because I have a basketball-sized head. I've got a size like size 8, all right? It just wouldn't look good. All right, everybody's off of that. Okay. You got to have fun, church. I'm telling you, scripture is fun. And God's got a sense of humor. He really does, okay? And so, there you go. God cares about you. Plumb down the hairs of your head. All right, here's number 3, the third lesson. 3 lessons from a strange miracle. Almost entitled the message, this one. Okay, preparing for a miracle. This is the point where we wanted to get to. All these are great points, but this is here it is. Preparing for a miracle is part of receiving a miracle. I'm going to say that again. Preparing for a miracle is a part of receiving a miracle. And I'm already hear this. Believing for it, praying for it, that's all part of the preparation. But I want to help take you a step further, because there may be some faith action steps that God wants you to do. So in verses 6-7, this is where it happens. The man of God asked him, Elisha said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, now watch what Elisha does, okay? Elisha cut a stick. Everybody say, cut a stick. And he threw it into the water at that spot where the guy said, that's right where it fell in at, Elisha. Then it says, then. The axe head floated to the surface. The axe head did not float until he cut a stick and he threw it in the water. Okay, now we're going to go somewhere with this. And then in verse 7, I love this, how the New Living Translation, and I encourage you to read this in all translation, but I love how the New Living says it. He says, Elisha says, grab it. So here's the deal. Elisha says, grab it, and the man reached out and grabbed it. Look at somebody and say, cut a stick, then grab it. Say it again. Cut a stick. I almost titled the message this. Cut a stick, then grab it. And I'm going to tell you something in here this morning. Some of you are believing and even been praying for a miracle, but some of you need to cut a stick. Some of you need to cut a stick. Now, when I looked this up, because I was like, cut a stick? I mean, because, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking what Elisha did was go over to a tree there on the Jordan, on the banks of the Jordan, and he just broke off a limb and then threw it out there, right? That's about as deep as I went. That's about as deep as my mind went. And so I was like, there has to be more to this, because every time I'd read it, that phrase would jump out at me. Cut a stick, then grab it. So I looked up cut a stick in the Hebrew, because the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, New Testament Greek. And what that meant was cut a stick. That's how they translated it. But it literally means he shaped and sized a stick. So what that tells me is that Elisha, listen, shaped and sized a new axe handle. Then he threw it in the water. Now, I'm going to give you some ideas of cut a stick, and then you can grab it, all right? Look at somebody say, cut a stick, and then you can grab it. This goes beyond just, and you got to keep believing and keep praying, but then you need to start asking God, what are some action steps I can do for what I'm believing for? Okay, so here's something that I want to tell you, and I'm going to send this to somebody today, is because I know there's a young couple that is believing to have a child. So what they need to do to cut a stick is they need to start preparing the nursery now.
Yes.
Not after the baby gets here, but now. That's cutting a stick. That's putting faith, putting action to your faith, and they're praying for a baby. They need to cut that stick. They need to do it. You might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, what if it doesn't happen? I'm going to flip the script on you. What if it does?
Yes.
Because my Bible says that God is pleased by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. If you're praying for rain, somebody is today, because we've been getting a lot, I'm around here because we've been getting a lot of rain. It's good. Love it. If you're praying for rain, we got to remember this one in July and August when we're all praying for rain again, is we need to go wash our vehicles, every one of us, because then it rains.
Yeah.
Or go buy an umbrella, you know. That's cutting the stick. I love what my grandma Lita was one that taught me this. growing up, and there was times I would be with her, and every time I was with her, when we'd be going somewhere, my grandma, she can't now. I mean, she's in a nursing home in Chickasha, but I had a grandma that was a going grandma up to the very end, just go, 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 and traveled a lot and did different things. But when I was riding with her, what she would do is when we pulled up different stores or places wherever it was at, she would always pray, and she'd pray it out loud, "Lord, give us a good parking space." And I'll never forget the first time I heard that. I was like, "Grandma, what in the world?" She goes, "Mark, it works." She goes, "It works." And she goes, "You know what? I can't walk, you know, 100 miles today. You know, I'm getting older. So I pray everywhere I go for good parking spots. And you know what? It never failed. We pull in. We may have to, you know, and we may have to make one lap. But I guarantee you we didn't make more than one lap. And somebody be backing out. She goes, "There it is." There. And she goes, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." She always give God praise for it. Too, that's a thing you just got to do too. When that miracle happens, thank the Lord for it. No matter how small it is, thank the Lord for it. And what that does is it builds your faith. So my grandma taught me how to cut a stick by praying for parking spaces. She also taught me how to pray for the favor of God over situations that you face during the day. See, it's not just on Sunday morning. Like, you know, there's things I have coming up this week, and I'm praying for the favor of God. God, lead me to the right people. God, you know, tell me what to say, how to say it, all this, you know, give me favor in these situations. He will do it, and that's cutting a stick. And then when he does it, give him praise and thanks, and it builds your faith. Here's another one for you. We're talking about God caring about an axe head that a guy lost that was borrowed. Here's another one. As I bought a pair of Oakleys, you know, I found out that God likes Oakley sunglasses. He does. I think he wears them, too. And the backstory on this, I have some these Oakley sunglasses, and I would have never bought sunglasses. I was always the $10, $5 pair, you know, sunglasses. I always lose them, break them, whatever. But I always wanted a pair of Oakleys because they're just sharp-looking sunglasses, but they cost, like, you know, over $150, you know. And so one day, Jada was the one that encouraged me. She said, "You need to buy you a pair of Oakleys." And I was like, "Okay. If you say so, I will do it." So I did, and I bought me some. And I'd always got on to some of my younger nephews because they're always wanting the biggest, you know, the best sunglasses when they're little bitty kids. I'm like, "You can't keep up with them. You lose the $5 pair." And I had this with one of my nephews, Shaden, because he always wanted a pair of Oakleys. And I'm like, "Buddy, I'm not buying you a pair of Oakleys because you can't keep up with a $5 pair, you know. And if you said you start doing that, then I might get you some." But anyway, so this day I lost it. I lost my Oakleys, and I was thinking, golly, it's all coming back on me. I've, you know, been getting on my nephew. Now I'm being punished. You know, we do that with God. I'm being punished because I told my nephews they can't have Oakleys, and I can't find my Oakleys. And I started praying. I said, "God, show me where my Oakleys are at." And several days went by, couldn't find it. And I was still praying, "God, show me," because this is a $150 pair of sunglasses, and I need to find them. And one day, I had put on this some stuff, and if you're a guy, you understand this, certain caps go with certain outfits, you know, you have. So I found this, had this certain outfit on, and I was like, "I got to have that cap," and I hadn't worn that cap in a long time. And it was actually hanging up, but for some reason, I had put my sunglasses on the inside, and they stayed on the inside. And that's where they were at. And when I went to put it on, I was like, "What is that?" And I was like, "My Oakleys." And right there in my den, I was praising God. "God, thank you for helping me find my Oakleys." And it built my faith. And everybody's looking at me, "God don't care about..." Yeah, God cares about Oakleys. He cares about my Oakleys. He may not care about yours. Yeah. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. Let me say this. This is the grab it part. Okay, you cut the stick. In that situation, all I did was praying and asking God, "Where did I leave him at?" Okay, cut the stick. Now, here's the second thing you got to do. You got to grab it. A lot of people have cut a stick, but you're not grabbing for it. And here's what I mean by this: you think you've cut a stick, and you're praying about it and believing for it, but you're almost giving up on it because this is what Jesus said in Matthew 9:29: "According to your faith, let it be done to you." I'm going to tell you something with that story of the Oakley. And I know that was funny, and you know, we don't think a lot about Oakleys. We don't even think about parking spaces. But you know what made me believe for my Oakleys is because I had a grandmother that taught me how to pray for a parking space. Yes. And that God cared about that. Yes. So if God cares about a parking space, he cares about my Oakleys. Yes. And a lot of people would say, "No, he don't." Yeah, he does. He does mine. He cares about my parking spaces and my Oakleys. I promise you, He does, because that's the kind of God I serve. Then some people sit there and argue with you, and the reason why they do is because their faith is not where you're at,
yes.
Where you're at in your faith. Because Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. I want a God, and God wants to be that God that's going to take care of you from the smallest of things to the biggest of things. But it takes faith to walk like that. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. There it is. That's the grabbing it, your faith. Got to keep that faith. Got to cut a stick, grab it. Some of you need to cut a stick. Some of you need to find out you've been believing and praying, but some of you may need to take a faith action step so that you can grab it. And everybody said, amen. All right. Here's what I want to close with today. And we're going to listen to a song in closing. This is something I read from R.T. Kendall, and it's from a book called Double Anointing. This is Lessons to be Learned from Elisha. And this is what he said, because there's also another reason why I'm bringing this message to all of us today. This helps us all individually, but I'm also believing for this as a church.
Yes.
Okay? And let me show you what I'm believing for. This miracle, by the way, is the type of miracle that cynics, especially those who don't believe in miracles, would seize upon to make Elisha look ridiculous. Imagine today a group of charismatics or Pentecostals reporting that a piece of iron floated on the South Canadian River. Consider how some talk about the reports of gold teeth in some places. Don't have you ever heard about this? Regarding gold teeth, I saw this once for myself. This is RT talking about this. It says a 10-year-old Hispanic girl screamed during a worship service and asked people to look inside her mouth, and I looked in and saw gold teeth where wisdom teeth are with perfect symmetry. You might be saying, well, why didn't God just give her, you know, real teeth? Well, God makes his streets out of gold. And I think that gold tooth is going to fall out since she's a 10-year-old, probably. And then she's going to have that as a faith-building thing for the rest of her life.
Yes.
As tears ran down her cheeks, she kept crying out, why me? God loves to choose what some are likely to call foolish or silly. Yes, he chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, 1 Corinthians 1:27. I sometimes reckon the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have a council, and they ask, what is the next thing we can do to make people sneer or dismiss what we do? And the Bible reports the floating of the axe head as a fact, but it would be the perfect sort of miracle that cessationists and liberals would dismiss or laugh at. There's a lot of people that don't believe that miracles are for today. It is my opinion that creative, and I believe this too with RT, it is my opinion that creative last day miracles will accompany the return of Christ. But we have to believe for it, we have to pray for it, and we have to cut a stick.
Yes.
And everybody said, amen. I believe that God is rising up in an Elisha company in these last hours, and they're asking just like how Elisha did double the amount of miracles that Elijah did is because he asked for a double portion of God's Spirit, and he received it. And so I'm asking you today, do you need a miracle? Do you need an axe head to float in your life? Something's going on, a miracle. And we're going to listen to this song in closing today. And this closing, and Travis, whenever you start that, I want you to get Jennifer to come up here. And then I'm going to come up here and close after we listen to this song. The title of this song is about 6 minutes long. And I'm just going to prep you for it because it's called Million Little Miracles. Million Little Miracles. Everybody say Million Little Miracles. And I want to tell you something today. We're going to go, is it okay if we go a little bit over today, okay? We're going to go a little bit over. And I'm not holding it, but the Holy Spirit really wants to do something here today, is because when you listen to this song, God's going to bring to mind to you little miracles that he's already done and big miracles. And what I want you to do is just thank him as you're listening to this song. I had one happen to me yesterday. And I want you to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that you start realizing when these little miracles happen and you thank him for it.
Amen.
The other day, my grandson had a birthday party, his fifth birthday party. And there were a lot of kids there, a lot of activity, crazy. And I'm watching OU softball because Cameron put his TV out on his patio. Thank God I got a son-in-law that knows what to do. And so I'm watching that, and we're listening to the kids that are just playing and having a good time, and we got You got the water slide going on, just lots of activity going on. And I'm sitting there in a lawn chair, and I'm watching the game, and I feel this little arm grab my arm, and it's Jarek. Okay, he's the birthday boy. I didn't tell Jada this, or Tay or Cameron. He's the birthday boy. There's a lot of kids there. He should be busy. He took the time to come up there, grab my arm, gave me a kiss on the arm, and goes, "I love you, Poppy." And then he took off running again. And I'm telling you guys, it made my day. Yes. And it was a little bitty miracle. And I just sat there and I just said, "Thank you, God, for my grandkids." So there's little things that happen like that all the time to all of us. And what I want you to start doing, because this is going to help build your faith, I want you to stop and just thank God for it. Yes. Just say, "God, thank you for that. Thank you for that." And I want you to listen to this song, and then I'm going to come back up here, and we'll close.
All my life I've been carried by grace. Don't ask me how, 'cause I can't explain. It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here. I've got some blessings that I don't deserve. I've got some scars, but that's how you learn. It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here. I think it over and it doesn't add up. I know it comes from above. I've got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Yeah, miracles on miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. Held me steady so I wouldn't give up. You opened doors that nobody could shut. I hope I never get over what you've done. I want to live with an open heart. I want to live like I know who you are. Get over what you've done. It's not coincidence and it's not luck. I know it comes from above. I've got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Miracles on miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. Miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Miracles on miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. 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 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. Yeah, I can't even count them all. I can't even count them all. I try and I can't keep up.
I can't even count them all.
Yeah, I can't even count them all.
Count
1, 2, 3, 4,
I can't even count them all.
Like when you heal my mother,
I can't even count them all.
When you redeem my father,
I can't even count them all.
Even in the death of my brother,
I can't even count them.
You are closer than no other. Set me free. You gave me victory. was on my back.
I can't even
my mother would say, I got food on my table.
I can't even count more.
Lord, I know that you're able.
I can't even count more.
Too many to count.
I can't even count miracles.
I got miracles on miracles. A million little miracles.
Count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't even count more.
Miracles on miracles. A million little miracles. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracles on miracles.
Count your miracles.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I can't even count them all.
Miracles happen all around us all the time, and we're not seeing them. And I pray that we leave here today seeing them. I want to share one more real quick story. And I had them come up here and sit on the front row. It's Travis and Jennifer Bourne. I'll never forget one day, it's been a while back, Travis called me. I happened to be in the day that he called me, I was in Oklahoma City. And he goes, immediately, and when he called me, I could tell he was excited, nervous. I didn't know what was going on. You know, when you get a call like that, you're like, oh no, what's happened? You know, shouldn't be like that, but that's the first thing and he's all nervous and excited. He goes, Pastor Mark, where are you at? I said, well, I'm in Oklahoma City right now. And he goes, good, I need you to meet me at Cherokee Trading Post here in just a little bit. He goes, ask me, are you on your way home? And I was like, yeah, I'm on my way home. And he goes, well, can you meet me there? And I was like, yeah, is everything, are you and Jennifer okay? You know, and he goes, yeah, we're fine. I got to show you something. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And so I take off back home, and I pull in Cherokee Trading Post, and he tells me that he's around back. And I'm like, whoa, what's going down here, Travis? You know? And so I pull around back, and he's leaned up against a car, brand new car. What was it, a Dodge? What was it? Yeah, yeah, okay, you heard it. Hellcat jailbreak. I said that from the pulpit. Yeah, this souped up, and they won it from putting their name in a hat on a sweepstakes or, you know, drawing thing. They won the deal, and they wanted me to see that, and they were just like, what blessed me about it, and when I was studying for this story came to mind when I was studying for this, a strange miracle. Okay, this was a strange miracle. But the first thing that Travis did, when I felt honored that he called me, and he said, I want to share this with you, this miracle. And so I brought him up here to tell it because I feel like I have something I need to tell them from the Lord today. But the thing that whenever they told me this, I said, you guys have built my faith because I'm entering every sweepstakes I can right now, you know. And every time I enter a sweepstakes, I think of them. You know, if God's not a respecter of persons, You gotta cut a stick. You gotta put your name in the hat, amen, or you're not gonna win anyway. So here we go. And so they built my faith to do that. And see, what your faith, when you share your faith with one another, it builds each other up. That built my faith like no other. Because then what happened was he let me get in. Now, he didn't let me drive it, but he let me get in the car with him, because legally I couldn't have drove it that day because the insurance purpose, all that. But we got in the car with him, and I said, let's go, buddy. I said, let's go out here on a flat. And so we get out there, and he set me back in that seat. I thought I was in the back seat. And I was like, dude, okay, this thing's got some power to, you know. And it's been a total blessing to them. But they cut a stick to receive that miracle. Yes. They cut a stick, and then they grabbed it. And this is another thing I'm going to say this too. Even though they put their name in the hat, when he got the phone call, he thought it was phony. He thought, this is a scam, okay? I think we do that with God sometimes.
Yeah.
We're praying and believing for something, and then when God says, here it is, grab it, we got, oh, no, God, no way. Grab it, amen? And so what I had him come up here, and I had him go get her, because when I was studying for this story came to my mind. But what I feel like I need to tell you guys, and I'm telling this to Travis and Jennifer, but this is for every one of us here. If I could sum up this message, this prophetic word that I'm going to give to them is for every one of you here. But you're going to have to use your faith to grab it, okay? And what they've been doing, this couple, I know them because I'm their pastor, they have been cutting a lot of sticks. A lot of sticks. That was just a precursor of them grabbing something, okay? And it's a strange miracle, but what I'm telling you guys, God, there's more for y'all to grab, and God wants you to grab it. You've been cutting a lot of sticks, and keep cutting sticks. Keep cutting the stick. And that Jennifer's like, what is it, Pastor Mark, even talking about? Because she's been back there. You're going to have to listen to the message and understand this. Travis knows what I'm talking about. So you guys keep cutting the sticks, but also grab it, okay? Because you're worthy to grab it. You're valuable. God wants you to grab it. So many of us in here, we don't grab what God has for us because we don't think we're worthy. And that's a lie from the pit of hell.
Yes.
And so that word is definitely for you guys, but I want every one of us in here to receive it, because I'm receiving it too, just like they received that car. I'm still signing up for sweepstakes today.
Yeah.
Because those prophetic words are for all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Cut a stick and grab it. Tell somebody that.
And
I hope you don't forget that. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here. I want you to join hands with your family. Jada, will you come up here? And I'm going to speak this blessing over us out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Did everybody learn something today?
Yes.
Everybody encouraged? All right, I'm going to speak this blessing over everyone here and your families. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. You guys have a blessed week. Hug somebody's neck and say, cut a stick and grab it. Amen.